What's up, guys? Thank you so much for tuning in into another episode of the Dental Marketer Podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in, for interacting with me on social media, for asking questions. I get a lot of questions in Instagram. So if you guys are on Instagram, ask away. Ask as much as you want away. Actually, just ask anytime. Any questions or concerns you have. But I want to talk about our guest today. She is Sarah Thiel, okay? And she was a dental assistant for 6 years, and then she became a hygienist. She is the co-founder of CE Zoom. If you're not familiar with that, what that is, it's pretty much a CE tracker, but with so much more now. It involves anything CE, right? This is a very, very interesting episode because you guys are going to get in the mind of your hygienist. See how they interact, what they think based off of Sarah. She knows so much, right? She's very busy. She's a businesswoman. She has her own company, and she also practices, I believe, once a week. She said it in the podcast episode. So if I'm not mistaken, I believe it's once a week. But anyways, we talk about so much, guys, so much interesting things. She was a wonderful guest. One thing I like that she mentioned is being good to your patients. And that means like the hygienist has to be good to your patients. And also in the same, not just like the hygienist, but also like the dentist. Everybody in your team has to be good to your patients. We talk about that, how to do that. We talk about, does your office give anything for referrals? When you do ask for referrals, what is her office giving? Or what should we be giving? Things like that. We talk about networking. We talk about being careful with social media. What to post? Why should we be careful? Things like that. How should we post? We also explain a little bit more about, you know, how she got into what she's doing as well. And yeah, guys, we talk about so much. So I'm very excited for you guys to listen to this. It's a wonderful episode. That being said, I will be speaking at the Delivering Wow Summit. And let me just pull it up here because I just thought about it right now. You know, I normally have like notes that I should keep in mind and write about and have them here. But I was just like, I just pushed record. And said, let's do this. Let's start recording. So let me pull this up really quick. I'm on Facebook and I wanted to see the page. It's deliveringwowsummit.com. And there's an early bird special. Okay. So what that means, let me see what that means. So for the early birds or the early, you know, people who want to purchase the tickets right now, it's a super early bird ticket. So you be the first 50 to register or until November 1st to get the awesome price at $197, guys. That's $197. So if you're able to purchase your ticket before November 1st or you're the first 50, I know right now, I believe the link or the landing page just went live today, and we're already at 33 only left. But it says here, be the first 50 to register or until November 1st. So guys, jump on it. If you want to hear not just me speak, but you want to speak with, or you want to see a bunch of other wonderful speakers, and also speak with a bunch of them too as well, because we'll all be hanging out pretty much in the same venue. And the beautiful thing is that this event is going to be in Jamaica, Montego Bay, Jamaica. And so what's awesome about it is, you know, not only will you hear us speak and interact with us and things like that, but you'll also be pretty much just chilling in the same spot we're in, in the same resort. And everything is inclusive, guys. So the food is inclusive, the hotel resort obviously is inclusive, the drinks, everything. And it's gonna be so amazing. You can enjoy all the activities at the resort. I'm looking at pictures here, like, you know, massages, golf course, pool, restaurants. What is it called when you're on a jet ski? There you go. You're on a jet ski. But let me tell you about the speakers, okay? The speakers who will be speaking obviously Anissa Holmes, it's her whole summit, right? She'll be speaking. Sandy Pardue will be speaking. Bruce Baird from Productive Dentist Academy will be speaking. Jamie Amos from Ideal Practices will be speaking. Laura Hatch from Front Office Rocks will be speaking. Mark Costas from Dental Success Institute will be speaking. Ashley Hovez from Smile & Co. A lot of you guys know her. She'll be speaking. Len Tao, he was one of my guests not too long ago from Bird Eye. He'll be speaking as well. Elijah Desmond from Smiles at Sea, he'll be there too speaking. Chris Bowman from Dental Insiders will be speaking. Another one of my favorite guests, Heidi Mount, she'll be speaking there as well. Andre Sheerdan from The Crew Process, he'll be speaking. One of my favorite podcasts, besides this one, of course, Nifty Thrifty Dentist, Glenn Vo, he's going to be speaking as well. And also Justin Morgan, the dental marketing guy, the guy who knows everything about SEO, he'll be speaking. And then it's me. I'll be speaking, and I'll be talking all about ground marketing and ways you can start implementing that right now, strategies. I'll be giving everybody strategies. At the same time, I'll show you tactics as well. We'll do so much interactions, guys. Like, I really want to interact with you guys as far as how I can implement ground marketing, or how you can implement ground marketing in your practice today. Because with the majority of my clients, the way they're seeing ground marketing, it's fantastic. Because think about it just this way, guys. If you're able to set up anywhere, right? Let's just say you set up at the store down the street, and then a gym right across from you, and then another store down the street, right? And they tell you, yeah, you can set up, you know, every month, right? So if we're able to get maybe just like three, okay, let's just say we're able to set up at a gym twice a month, and then at the other store twice a month, and then at another store twice a month, right? So that's 2, 4, 6, 8. 8 times, right? And out of those 8 times, you set up out there for, let's just say you're out there for maybe 3 to 4 hours. Let's put 4 hours. If you're out there for 4 hours, you're going to get leads, like no matter what, right? Even people are going to be like, hey, look, oh my gosh, I needed a dentist. So let's just say out of those 4, you get a minimum of 5 people signing up. That's a minimum. I have a lot of my ground marketers, they're the ones I train, they're signing up like 20 plus, right? So let's just say you sign up 5 leads. Out of those 5 leads, let's just say 2 show up. Okay, 2 only show up. So how many times did we say we're setting up? 2, 4, 6, 8. 8 times, right, out of the month. So 2 times 8, I have my calendar, 16 new patients coming into your practice just with ground marketing alone. Like that's almost like a for sure thing. I mean, no matter what, if you have that going on, right? That's to say that you get the bare minimum, and you're only barely setting up these locations and events, and you're not even building pipelines, you're not even going to other businesses. That's it. Just setting up twice a month at these locations. So anyways, I know I've kind of gone on a rant here, but without further ado, guys, I want to put the episode on now with Sarah. But be sure to check out the Delivering Wow Summit. Be one of the early birds, right? Go to the landing page. The links are going to be in the show notes below. I am so excited to see a lot of you listeners, a lot of you guys who are part of the Dental Marketer Tribe. Be sure to message me, email me, anything. If you want to say, Michael, let's go out jet skiing, right? Or anything like that. If you guys are going to sign up, let's hang out. Like, let's really, you know, get some dinner, see what we can do. Let's be friends. So anyways, guys, with that being said, I'm so excited to see a lot of you there. I'm going to keep talking about the Delivering Wow Summit throughout the, because it's, I believe it's in March. So I'm going to keep talking about it, not every single podcast episode, but I'll keep talking about it, especially more as the date gets closer. With that being said, guys, here is Sarah.
Okay. Well, my history is I'm a dental hygienist. I graduated from school about 11 years ago. I was a dental assistant for 6 years before that. So I have a full rounded knowledge of the dental industry in that realm. Mm-hmm. And I am the co-founder of CEZoom. And what it is an online platform for dental professionals, dentists, hygienists, assistants, consultants, anybody who has to receive continuing education credit. Mm-hmm. It started out this way as a CE tracker. We have all 50 states, rules, and regs in our system. And so we just started out with that. And then now we do anything CE. And that's kind of what I do mostly now. Okay. But I'm also an examiner for dental hygiene boards with two different examining companies. And I am a sitting member on my dental hygiene committee of the state of New Mexico's state dental board.
Wow. Okay, so you do a lot.
Lots of roles.
Yeah, yeah, you're everywhere. That's good. So you were a dental assistant for 6 years. What made you want to transition into hygiene?
I wanted to be a mom. And I didn't want to have to work around a doctor's schedule. I wanted to kind of have my own schedule. And that's the honest truth. Most people would say, oh, you know, the people, I wanted to take care of my patients. And hindsight, that's exactly what I love doing now. But before, it was more about selfish decisions. I just wanted a really good schedule with really good pay. So
definitely, definitely. And you got that, right? So,
and I got it. Yep.
How did CE Zoom come about in that whole... and that whole process?
Oh, so with continuing education, I had to, you know, renew my license every 3 years in my state. Every state's different, but I was pregnant with my second daughter, and I realized that I hadn't done any of my 45 hours of continuing education, and I only had like 6 months to do it, and I started panicking because I live in a rural area, and we just didn't have a lot of options for CE. And so I was trying to find some, and I had a really hard time finding anything. And so I actually found the ADHA had their annual session in Albuquerque that year, which was only 3 hours from my house. Mm-hmm. And so I signed up. I paid a lot of money because it was like last minute. And then I had to go attend, big and pregnant, didn't want to be there, really not excited about it. And when I left the building, I was holding that certificate in my hand because I didn't want to lose it. You know, that was the one thing I came there for. And I had all my exhibitor swag in my arms, and I was just holding on that certificate. Mm-hmm. And it blew away in the wind when I walked out the door. Oh. And like, this is real. I know it just sounds like too crazy, but it truly happened. And I threw my shoes off because I was in heels. Don't ask me why, being pregnant. Threw everything down, and I ran after this piece of paper because I didn't care. I'm like, this is my license in my mind. You know, my license is blowing away in the wind because if I don't have that, I can't renew. And so I got it. I threw it in my glove box in the Holy Home. I was just ticked. I'm like, why? Why is this still on paper? I don't understand. And why does my license write on this piece of paper? You know, so I started researching apps, couldn't find anything that would suit me. And one day my brother just mentioned that his company or his business partners build apps. And I was like, what? And that's where it started. And I never thought of doing it myself, but when he said that, I found the avenue to do it. So
it was your idea pretty much, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. So, I started the groundwork for about a year before my business partner joined me.
Who is your business partner?
Her name's Katrina Jackson. She also is a dental hygienist. I used to work for her. Mm-hmm. And her husband's a dentist. I worked for them for about 6 years as a hygienist, and yeah, she liked it, so she joined me.
Oh, wow. Okay, cool. So,
yeah,
the story you mentioned, do you think that's a stressor that many people can relate to?
Absolutely. It's not so much in that sense where it's just crazy like that. I mean, the story goes on. I end up losing that certificate completely to chocolate milk, but
to chocolate
milk. I'm not gonna go into detail. Like, it's really devastating. But the reality is, when it's on paper, it's going to get lost unless you are like top priority organizer, which I would say 90% of us aren't. So I just kept, you know, I think a lot of people either don't realize, and now that I've dug really deep into this, there's a lot of things that actually go into relicensing and CE counting that I never was aware of. Like, for instance, certain course categories don't count in certain states. Like, I attended my own state's association meeting 1 year, and only 5 of the 13 credit hours they were offering counted. And I would have never known that if I hadn't created CE Zoom. I would have just assumed attending my state association that it would count.
Mm-hmm.
And the disconnect is between everybody. I just think a lot of people don't understand what's required of them as a dentist or a hygienist. And as an association putting on this CE, they don't understand what's required of them. And then as a state dental board, they just get the information and fail you if yeah. you don't have it. They don't care. It's your responsibility. So
yeah, you're right. You're right. So
yeah,
Sarah, you know, I'm going to ask, what do you mean with chocolate milk?
You're going to make me go there, aren't you?
Yeah.
Okay. So after I got home from that conference, I just left that certificate in my glove box. I got like 16 hours at this event. I had to have 15 hours live. So I got one over what I needed. Granted, I'd had my CPR. I had infection control. Like that stuff was live that I took. But I like was due for my renewal. I got this little notice in the mail. They're like, come and upload all your certificates into this system. And not your certificates, but just the courses you took. And so I laid it all out on my counter, had my laptop up, I was ready to do it. And I had my baby at this point, and I also had another child. So I think I was attending to the baby. I don't exactly remember this part as much, but I was attending to somebody. I walked away and came back probably 2 hours later just to like start finishing it. And my 3-year-old at the time had spilt chocolate milk all over all my certificates.
Oh, man.
And it had sat there for so long that it had like ruined it. Like I couldn't just wipe it off and read it. I had no idea what courses I took. And calling the ADHA, they're like, good luck. You know, that's not what they do. So I just, I know I'm saying this to the world, but I just lied when I was renewing. I just said, I mean, I did go, I attended these courses, but I was like, yeah, Jane Doe took her course on perio. I didn't know, you know, so like, and that was the other issue. I made it through, you know, with nothing true. And, I mean, it was true, but you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, I get you. I get you.
I made it through and I wasn't being audited. It was just renewing my license and they don't, you know, check that as much. But if I was getting audited, I would have failed because I didn't have my proof of my certificate, which I did actually end up getting audited the next renewal cycle, which was hilarious because by then I had CE Zoom and I was like, boom. I just sent it right through it. It was awesome.
That's good.
I think that's why they audited me too, because I am on the state board and I think they wanted to see how the system actually works. But anyway. Yeah.
That's good. Good story.
Thanks.
So
traumatizing, yeah.
No, traumatizing. It's what made CE Zoom. So
it is.
What's required from a hygienist?
It depends on your state. So like in mine, for instance, I have to have 45 hours of CE every 3 years. And then like 15 hours of those have to be in person, like a live course. The rest can be online, but they prefer you to have most live. And then, like there are certain requirements. I can't have anything in self-help. So like a course on ergonomics, which you would think would totally count in the state, doesn't, unless it is literally teaching me, about a new technology in dentistry, like something to do directly or supportively relate to dentistry, like to my patient care. And since it has everything to do with my body and my back and how I'm sitting, it's self-help. And a lot of people don't realize that that course would fall in that category and fail or just not pass through an audit. I'm only allowed 8 hours in business. And in, I would say most states, they don't allow a lot of business courses, which are most of the courses out there that these dentists are taking. So if they're to ever get audited and the course was on practice management or business, it may not count and they may fail an audit, which I'll explain what it means when you fail an audit. It means you have no license, so therefore you cannot practice and until you get that CE. And then you have to pay all these fines, and hopefully you can get that CE within a certain amount of time so you don't lose a lot of money that way by not practicing. Like, it's kind of detrimental to your license and so, or to your money. And so if you lose your license for non-compliance with CE, it's a big deal.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Huh. Interesting. So I'm going to ask you, what is one technique, tactic, strategy, or procedure that you have used or seen increase dental practices profits?
One thing that I've seen is like a dentist basically just understanding what the patient needs, like listening to the patient and not trying to sell. So like if a patient comes in and okay, here's a good example. For instance, there's a dentist. I just saw this on Facebook. He's a friend of mine, actually. He had a girl come in, and maybe you saw this. It kind of went viral. He had a girl come in for a wisdom tooth extraction. She was in a lot of pain. And one thing he noticed was her front tooth was chipped. So he pulled her tooth and was like, did you see this?
I think so, yeah.
And he's like, so, you know, what happened to your front tooth? I mean, if you can't.
I know what video you're talking about. I just saw it. Yes. I'm sorry.
Yes. So it's this, on this line of things. So basically he was like, what happened, you know, and she had gotten headbutted by her boyfriend 2 years ago. And we all know, like, if you have a jacked up tooth in the front, you're not going to smile, which ruins you. I mean, it ruins you as a whole being. So this guy, Kenny, he's just a good guy all around. I've known him for a couple of years. He just fixed it and just.
Oh, so
don't
you know
why
the dentist?
He recorded her, but he did. I do. Yeah. Oh. He's a friend of mine from Texas.
Cool.
But, he fixed it and was like, here you go. I mean, it was just a good deed. Like, he didn't have to do that. He really didn't. Mm-hmm. But it made that girl's life. You know what I mean? It's just like, okay, so doing that good deed, look at the attention it just brought him. It's like, I just feel like being good to your patients, they're going to always come back. Even if it costs you in the beginning, they're going to come back with more. Do you know what I mean? Like, and then you develop that relationship, which is even more important than being just drilling and filling, you know, they trust you, they believe you. And that's how you build your practice, because word of mouth, it goes way further than advertising.
Yeah. I remember seeing that video. She started crying, right? Like everywhere.
She started bawling. I mean, cause she'd had her tooth like that for 2 years and couldn't, I mean, she was in there because she was in pain. That tooth wasn't painful. It was aesthetic, you know?
And then she said he asked like, are you going to fix it? And she's like, I'm waiting for my tax returns for the money to fix it or something like that, right? Then he's like, oh, no. And then he did it.
He just did it. It took him like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, like just, so it was a good, that's all I'm saying. Like, I watch how he practices dentistry, and I've been watching him for years because this is what he does. And so just watching him, it's awesome. I don't know. I'm a true believer, like as a hygienist, even like my patients, you know, when they come in, and they need scaling, but they've got, you know, 15 cavities that are going to take all their insurance, or their scaling is going to take their insurance. What can I do to help this person? So what I do is I just start scaling, and I don't charge them. And then they come back and get those teeth filled, but they're going to, overall, their health is going to be better. I know I lose money, but in the end, the practice gets more, because that patient is going to be a lifelong patient. They're not just going to be like, oh, they ripped me off. You know, if they see their bill and they've got $1,200 charge for scaling, root planing, and then another $4,000 in dental work, I don't know. My point to this is take care of your patients, and they'll always be there. They'll come back, and then they're going to send everybody they know to you.
Mm-hmm, definitely. So, I mean, a lot of people maybe listening to this are kind of saying like, yeah, you know, we are good to our patients. How do you know? Like, how do you know you are good to your patients? Because maybe like a lot of dentists, not a lot, I don't want to say a lot, but maybe a couple may think they're good, but they're really not, you know, or they don't know. So how do you know you are good to your patients and they're referring, besides referring?
Well, referring is the biggest. I mean, if you can see who's referring, you know that you've been good to them. There's a lot of systems out there that can help as well. But what we do at our office, because I still work clinically one day a week, we use Solution Reach, I think. And basically, at the end of every appointment, it sends out a survey. And the survey results that come back are phenomenal at my office. I have some really good doctors I work for. And I think that's a good way to get those results. And then really, word of mouth, when people refer people, like that's huge. That is a huge compliment, because that means that they trust you enough to send their friends and family to you. Mm-hmm. And then another way, I think, is, so here's a good example. I actually, Katrina, my business partner, her and her husband moved to Tucson, and I ended up having to work at another practice because the guy that they hired to come in, it just didn't work, you know. I'm used to getting very taken care of by a dentist. Like, you can call me spoiled, I guess, but it's more of like we were a team, and it wasn't like I wasn't micromanaged. It was awesome. Mm-hmm. Like I could pretty much do what I needed with my patients, and the dentist would support me 100%. And even like giving away free scaling and root planing in return for fillings. Do you know what I mean? Like, I could do that. And then this guy came in and I couldn't. And it was really hard because I was used to that way of practicing. Hmm. And so I left offices. I'd been at this one for 6 years and I had, I would bet my, still my whole schedule is my patients from my other office. They all came.
Oh, wow.
Well, the ones that really truly liked me came. And so I'm still treating them and I've been treating them for 11 years now, you know? So it's mm-hmm. like, to me, I'm like, okay, I have done a good job with my patients because they followed me. They came with me. And even to the dentist point, they're still asking where he is. When is he coming back? Because yeah. they miss him, you know? Like, it was just, that patient relationship is more than money. Mm-hmm. It's more than getting their money. I mean, you do need to make money. Don't get me wrong. But just taking care of them and showing them that you actually truly care about them, just doing one little nice thing here and there for them, it's going to take you a lot. It's going to take you a long way.
Hmm. Does your office give anything for referrals or reviews or anything like that?
They do. Uh-huh. So for referrals, they give the patient a $25 credit if their name is written on a card. Mm-hmm. So they'll take these little cards and refer a friend. And if their name is on it, or if some, not even the card, even if the patient comes in and they're like, so-and-so referred me, we'll give them a $25 credit on their account so they can come in and get whatever they want. I mean, it's not going to pay for a whole procedure, but it's a decent discount. And if you refer enough, you can get stuff paid for.
Do you know, do people
and the
come
reviews,
in a lot?
No. Yeah, we actually do get, I mean, we track that. And I couldn't tell you the exact numbers right now, but yeah. We track that, and we get quite a few referrals from our current patients.
Okay. But for reviews, you don't?
With reviews, we don't. Huh? Nope. They just do it at their own goodwill. So.
That's good. That's good. So that's pretty much how you kind of know, right? Like through referrals and reviews. So if there's a dentist who's like, man, I wish I had more referrals and reviews. Do you think they're kind of like not treating their patients well or something else needs to be done or they can go a little bit more above and beyond?
That's a tricky question. I wouldn't say that it doesn't mean they're not doing a good job because some people are just really lazy. Like they see a survey come through and they're like, oh, he's a good dentist, but whatever, and delete it, you know?
Yeah.
Or, but yeah, referrals. Yeah. If you're not getting referrals, that would be a good sign because it's really easy to just be like, hey, go see Dr. Jackson. He's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So I don't know. That's a tricky one, But the reviews, no, I wouldn't say that because people are lazy. And there's so many surveys that we are asked to take on a daily basis that they get ignored.
Yeah.
Unless there's an incentive. So.
Yeah. You're right.
Or unless they're extremely ticked off.
I know, yeah.
That's when you're going to get those. Bad. And so you kind of take those with a grain of salt. Either they're going to be extremely satisfied or extremely mad. And that's when they're going to fill it out. But if they're just, it was great. It was okay. They're not going to fill anything out, I don't think. But
yeah, definitely. So what is one strategy, idea, or technique you would never do again, and why?
So are you talking for my business or for
both.
Hygiene?
For both.
Well, one strategy I would never do. So I have I know this applies to most dentists too. We don't really have a background in business. Whenever we start doing this, it's kind of by flying by the seat of your pants or you're, you know, coming into a practice that's already established, which is ideal, or working for a corporate but if you're coming in on your own, you're kind of like coming in blindly and it's tough. I mean, one thing I wouldn't say I wouldn't do, but I would do more of, I guess, is really use a network. Use your network. Don't be afraid to ask any colleague or any friend for help because you could really screw up your business. And 2 years later, you're going to look back and say, why didn't I do it this way? Definitely. And another thing is careful with your social media posts. Like that's one thing that I've had to scale back on because I'm just super blunt and I don't have much of a filter. And that's something I'm learning is you just never know where someone's at in their life or where what is going to come back and haunt you a couple of years from now. So just be really careful when you speak about things or post things. And if you do post pictures with patients, make sure they've signed a HIPAA release form because they can come back and get you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure everybody knows that. Also, if you do post pictures, explain the picture. Don't just post it. Because anybody can think anything. So, gotcha. Especially like a female and a male, just if you post a picture with somebody, explain that person. So it's not like assumptions don't start going out. You know what I'm saying?
So
I don't know. I don't know if that's even relevant.
Why? No, it is. It is. But why do you think we should be careful with social media posts? Like, have you had an experience in the past where something?
Oh, I've had a lot. I've actually had to go through like my CE Zoom account and delete a lot of stuff because I have a lot of friends across the country, and I'll just post pictures and be like, look who I ran into. And it's like a friend, but nobody knows who that person is. And they start assuming things. And also, I mean, just in a business, this is related to CE Zoom. People scroll Facebook for everything, or social media or Instagram in general. And if you're posting a picture with somebody and they don't like that person, they automatically judge you, even if you're just acquaintances. So explain, I know this person because it's not like, hey, we were hanging out and we're roommates, or you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, college explain buddies. That picture, because you could lose a deal based off of who you're posting pictures with too.
Mm-hmm.
I have.
But then at the same time, do you think it can do the opposite? Like, it can be like, oh, you know that person? Then they'll reach out to
exactly.
you.
Exactly.
And then...
It can. And that's what... But that's why I'm saying explain the picture. Don't just post it and be like, hanging out at... Or, I mean, just don't post it and be like, look who I ran into because I did that.
You post it up like, hanging out at David Buster's, but really y'all just met at David...
So, like, be like, okay, this is... We'll just use... Jackie Sanders, for instance. This is a good colleague of mine, Jackie Sanders with Sunstar Butler. She's an amazing networker, blah, blah, blah. Just explain the person. So it's like, this is how I know them. This is why it does help you to post pictures with famous people. I posted one with Gordon Christensen one day, and that got me like tons of stuff because I met with him at one point, and it was super cool.
Mm-hmm.
So you should post that stuff. You should, because that way people know you're serious and about what you're doing.
Yeah. And human, too, as well. So
and human, exactly.
You explain networking. Say there's like a dentist who just opened up their practice, or they've been on their own for a while. How do you start networking? Like, especially if you're really
good
shy.
Point. Good question, I mean. Okay, so through all this, that's the one thing I've learned has been the most important thing in my career, is it's not really what you know, it's who you know, truly. So one person that I could refer all you guys to, which I don't think he'd be mad about this, is Ignite DDS. Have you heard of it?
Yeah.
He helps a lot of dentists right out of school, kind of guides them what they should do, because we don't go to school for business, you know, but yet that's what you're about to do, is run a business. And I just feel like his services, what he offers, is super valuable to all these dentists just who don't really know which path to choose. Even like if you're coming out of dental school and you're like, I want to own my own practice, I think you need to understand what that entails before you actually do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so he offers a lot of resources, and probably your podcast as well, I'm assuming, is just as similar. But like say they aren't good at business and they just want to be a dentist and do good work, maybe the VA is a good choice for you, so you don't have to charge patients. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, just try and help these guys figure out where they should belong so they're happiest. And I'll tell a story about that, because the dentist that I used to work for, Dr. Jackson, he's amazing. His patients love him. Like, I'm still getting patients that come in and they're like, I want him to come back. The problem he had is he really struggled running a business, and he really struggled charging patients. He just couldn't do it. He's like, gosh, $1,000 for a crown? Like, he felt horrible.
Yeah.
So he just couldn't do it, and he struggled, you know. So hygiene ran that practice because he was giving his work away for free left and right, and that's not good either, because you did go get this education, and it took you a lot of time and a lot of work, and you do need to charge. So just find the right place for you. So he now works for the VA, and he is so happy. Like, there was one point when I was working for him, he told me, he's like, man, I wish I could just go deliver pizza. Like, literally. Because he hated, the stress of it just killed him. Like, he didn't want to charge, yet he still had to run an office.
Yeah.
It doesn't work. And so now that he's at the VA and he doesn't have to charge anybody and he still gets paid, he is so happy. So it's just things like that. Like, maybe had he just started out that way, he would have never hated dentistry at one point. And I wouldn't say he hated it. He just hated the everyday, like having to deal with a staff and the drama and, like, the fighting.
Yeah, like
girls.
The parts of running a business. I understand. I can see what he means by, like, wanting to deliver pizza. You know, something less stressful.
Yeah, so easy. He can just show up at people's door and give them their food.
Yeah.
Like, it was just so draining on him. And now that he's working for the VA, he is so happy. He's a whole new person.
That's interesting.
I mean, he was still a great dentist. You know what I mean? That didn't change.
What's the VA?
Good question. The veterans, it's for war vets. This is how they get their, like, after they've gone and served in the military, they get to keep using. And I could be totally wrong. Don't quote me on this, but this is my understanding. They all get free dental care. They just have to go to that facility and they get free work done. The government pays for it. It's kind of like a benefit to being in the military and signing up.
Where's that located at?
All over the country.
Oh, there's different spots.
Usually a couple in every state.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
So, that's why he moved to Tucson, because that's where an opening was. And so he works at that clinic there. But that's what I'm saying. Like, there's so many options for these dentists. And then, like, some of the DSOs, I'll be honest, like, at first I hated corporate dentistry. I was like, what is happening? They're taking us over. But there are some really, really good ones out there.
Which ones do you think would be really good to work for?
I have some very good friends over at Mountain Dental Midwest. They have several different names wherever you live.
Oh yeah, they do.
Mountain Dental, Pacific Dental.
Pacific, yeah.
And the reason I say this is because they offer you all the opportunities. You get insurance. You get a 401k. You get an office and patients, and they just basically lay it all out there for you. You still get to do your own work, but you're getting, it's different. Willamette, I don't know if they're a DSO, but they really take care of their employees, you know? And so if you're an employee there, you have so much opportunity for growth, where when you're in a private setting, it's like you've got to figure it out on your own.
Mm-hmm.
And some people are good at it. Some people should. Some people are very good at it, but some people just aren't. And that's why it's nice to go work for a nice corporate dental office that's going to teach you, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm, business. And then maybe one day you can go out on your own or buy in as an associate somewhere, or even with that.
Yeah.
Some do allow their dentist to buy in, you know. So there's so much opportunity. But if you just are clueless in the business world, you should probably choose something that's not private.
If you had to do it all over again, would you go to a DSO or would you start with a private?
I've been really lucky. I've had some really, really good employers. And I get paid very well as a hygienist. So I just have a hard time wanting to go to a corporate because it is a different structure. And, but I have a different mindset too. For instance, so I did start a business, right? So I definitely am a motivated person. And so when I started working for the Jacksons, they were paying me hourly and I just really had no desire. I'd come do my one patient an hour and in between I'd like pay bills. And I mean, there's so much more I could have been doing, but I wasn't because that was my salary. That's what I got paid.
Mm-hmm.
And one day I went up to Katrina and I was like, hey, I really can do so much more. Like, I'm really bored. If you'll pay me commission, if you'll pay me commission and give me an assistant, I will work much better for you. Probably. I just had a feeling because I was just bored. I'm like, I need something to do. And this one patient an hour is killing. Like, I was bored because I'm just quick in general. Like, and I'm not saying I did a bad job. I'm just fast. So coming in and asking for that, I started seeing about 4 or 5 more patients a day than I was. I had an assistant who did, who was awesome. She would seat my patients, get their medical history under control, write me notes. I'd come in and I would clean and I would leave and the dentist, I would write notes to her. I would talk to the patient, explain what the dentist is going to come and see. And then the dentist would come in with my assistant and go over treatment planning. and look at, you know, diagnose and do all of that. Mm-hmm. It worked so well. And I made more, I was happier in the office with making more money. You know, so instead of me just doing one patient an hour, I started bringing in almost double for them.
That's good then.
Just
that's
in
good.
One day. So I just, I don't even remember what your question was, but.
So you'd probably go with practice, right? Like a private practice?
A private practice for me. Yes.
Gotcha.
Private practice for me. It's not for everybody though. Because I don't know if I could do that in a corporate world where I can just change things like that. But if you're just, as a dentist or a hygienist, you're happy being, you're better off being told what to do, corporate's the way to go.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, so last question. What is the best piece of advice you have ever received that can help my listeners simplify, accelerate, or completely change their practice in a positive way?
I started with this. The best piece of advice is that I have received is always stay ethical, no matter what. Like, no matter how easy it would be to not be, you'll sleep so much better at night. Just stay true to yourself and true to your patients, and they'll take care of you. I mean, it's kind of back to the whole Kinney story, which, I mean, that's not ethical 100%. You know, that doesn't fall in those lines, but just be a good person in general. Mm-hmm. Like, don't come into work. Like, I'm in all these forums on Facebook, and I honestly, like, some weeks just turn them off because I can't stand it. Like, everyone's complaining, and it's so annoying. You've got to do what makes you happy, you know? Like, and if a lot of these, and this is good for dentists to hear. So as a hygienist coming in and doing all this, if you treat your hygienist good, she will take care of you no matter what. Like, even if it's hard sometimes to be like, oh, I don't want to write that check to her, she's going to take care of you in return. And if she doesn't, then it's not a good fit. But don't come in and be a jerk. Like, there's no point. There's no point. You guys have both been educated, and it doesn't, that shouldn't even matter. Come in and be a team, you know, and the more you hold that doctor mentality over their head, the less they're going to like you, which means you're going to have a really crappy staff because they're not going to want to work for you.
Yeah.
So that's the biggest advice that I've seen, haven't received, but I've seen it happen. Just like that dentist that came in the office that I'd worked at for 6 years and loved, I couldn't work for him. I just couldn't. And so he lost a lot of patients because of it. And I didn't intentionally take those patients. They found me. You know, I didn't make a Facebook post or anything. I just left and they found me, you know, and it's take care. I mean, you got to think about it. They see the hygienist more than they see you typically.
Yeah. Yeah,
so,
you're right.
I don't know. Your assistant too. Your assistant, they're the ones that talk to that patient for 10, 15 minutes before you get in there, and they talk to them in between and they develop a relationship. Take care of them. Because if they trust you and they like you, they're going to toot your horn all day long.
Yeah.
What you need.
Yeah, that's good. What about as a business owner? What's like the best piece of advice you have ever received that you can like give to us as a business owner, like the somebody who owns CZoom, you know?
Yeah. Go with your gut. I've been told, so I started this company 3 years ago. And I've done absolutely nothing according to a textbook business plan, if that makes sense. Like everything I do is kind of, everything I've done, I'll say, is pretty much backwards and not the right way, so to speak, to do things. But because of that, I've made it where I've gotten. If I would have followed some of these rules, I wouldn't have gotten some of the contracts I did get. You know, based off of like a business model. Like if you go to business school, they teach you certain things, which I never went. This is just what I've heard. And because I think I lacked that knowledge, I think it helped me as well. And my gut is what I've gone off of this whole time. Like if I don't feel right about something, I just don't do it. And if I feel good about a decision that someone's like, ooh, you shouldn't do that, but I feel good about it, I'll do it. And it, you know, usually it works. You know your business more than anybody knows it. So if you feel like it's a good choice, I mean, definitely listen, weigh out the options, listen to what they say. But if you still feel right about it, just do it. Go for it.
Awesome. Okay. Thank you so much, Sarah, for being with us today. It was a pleasure. But before we say goodbye, tell us where it is we can find you.
Sure. Sure. Yes, we are not currently an app yet, so don't try and find us on the App Store, which is where most people try and find us. It's www.cezoom.com.
All right.
And you can sign up. It's a free account for dentists and hygienists to sign up and start tracking your CE.
Awesome. And all that will be in the show notes below, too, the links for CE Zoom. All righty, Sarah. Thank you so much for being with us. It was a pleasure, and we'll hear from you soon.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
What's up, guys? I'm back. Thank you so much for tuning in into that episode. Like I said, it was informative, right? Like, really, really. It makes you think, like, is my hygienist, or am I even doing everything I can for my patients? Like, I thought it was pretty cool that she was friends. If you haven't seen that video, I'll try and link it in the show notes below for that video that we were talking about where the dentist, like, did a courtesy. Like, he worked, fixed her front tooth for free, one of his patients, because the patient had a chipped tooth, or like almost like a missing tooth, but it was a chipped tooth due to abuse. So I thought that was very awesome that she knew the dentist. But yeah, it's really cool to see stuff like that, and it makes, not only does it warm like your heart and everything like that, right, but it also makes you think, like, man, like, that's why I do what I do, you know. So I thought it was really cool how we talked about a little bit more about, you know, understanding the patient, being good to your patient. That goes a really, really long way, enhancing the patient experience. I also think CE Zoom is really cool, guys, and that's going to be in the links in the show notes below. Check it out, especially for everybody out there who feels that same struggle that Sarah felt. Go check it out. And then, yeah, guys, I'm so excited, like I said, to see everybody at the Delivering Wow Summit. Also, side note, I will be at Voices of Dentistry. I haven't gotten a full itinerary yet, but I will be there, and I want a podcast with a couple of you guys who are listening. So if you want to, reach out to me through commenting, through my YouTube. You can reach out through me. You can reach out to me through Facebook under The Dental Marketer, or Instagram, which is also under The Dental Marketer. Just reach out to me, guys, in whichever way possible. Email me to let me know. And yeah, like I said, I'm excited for all these events coming up. So much in the books for The Dental Marketer and ground marketing, and me just kind of giving you guys as much content as I possibly can. With that being said, thank you so much. Thank you, Sarah, for being on this episode. Guys, make sure to go, you know, email her, talk to her if you have any questions or concerns. Also, be sure to share this episode as well throughout your social media. And with that being said, I'll talk to you soon. Oh, P.S. guys, if you like what you're listening to, please, please, please leave a review on iTunes. It helps me out so much. Thank you.